Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Ken Shepherd, along with Dana Lee. And the show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. Our call-in number today is 347-989-1329. I'm going to read a disclaimer, and then I'll go over a few other things, and we'll go ahead and get started. Please note this show is intended only for the listeners. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips Inc. or Ken Shepherd in any manner. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd accepts no liability for the content of this email. I'm sorry, the content of the show, or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepherd recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that can help you understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. What we mean by that, basically, is if you have something where you could help somebody else and help yourself in the process, it's always good to do that. When it comes to deal making, if you don't have the money and somebody else needs a deal done and they have money to buy it, find what they want, get paid, and use the money for what you need. It's kind of just as an example. Website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Telephone number 24/7 is 310-358-7087. Email fci@peckbell.net. Twitter is @KenShepherd and Facebook is Facebook/KenShepherd and Facebook/CreativeFlipsInc. We usually have $300 to $500 million in process, depending on where we are. I've been doing this about 30 years. All the shows in the archives are free. Please tell everybody in the world to listen, download, play them for their friends, and join our radio audience and become part of our network in general. We've closed a lot of business. We have $80 million in closings on our website, many more that are not on there for confidentiality reasons. And we also did a soft proof of funds in the recent past for up to $500 million. One of the ways you can connect with investors is KenRE Radio. That's KENREradio.com. Connect with over 150,000 investors at no cost and meet a lot of people and close deals and let us know whatever you close. So we're very happy to have you with us today. Again, KenREradio.com is a wonderful source, and we use it every day ourselves. And it's the biggest on the Internet, and we'd love you to become part of our community there. So thank you very much, and we're about to get ready to the show, so let's talk about the show today.
Okay, so I hope the opening came in okay. We didn't get in until a little late because we had a technical issue on this side, but I think it's okay. We'll play it back after we're done and make sure. So first of all, thanks to everybody that's listening around the world and to giving all this information to all your friends, neighbors, and colleagues. That's we can help a lot more people do a lot more deals and close a lot more business. Couple of things, piece of housekeeping. We did close the up to $100 million additional that's not mentioned in the opening but is on the website. We have a number of other things in process that will be posted shortly to the website once they close and we have clearance to close, post them from the clients and from the sources and the deals that we're working with. So, Dana, can you hear me okay? Dan, are you there? Dana, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, sorry about that again. I thought I had Dana with me, but I guess I didn't. So, in any event, I was just talking about a little bit of housekeeping, nothing major. So, we just wanted to, again, say thank you to everybody. So, let me kind of talk a little bit, and Dana can join me, and we can go through this, about one of the things that we see a lot past actually getting a contract is what you do in order to get to the close. And there's a whole process that everyone is different because the people are different. Even if you have some of the same people, there's probably other people in the deal that are new. And or even if it's all the same people, the property is different and the circumstances are different, and so you have to kind of look at each deal on its own merits. So I'm going to talk one deal through with Dana that we're working on right now and explain some navigational issues that we've come into and how we've accomplished getting past those as we go along. So this particular transaction is for six duplexes, could potentially be up to 11 duplexes in the Midwest. These are fully cash flowing duplexes, not in the best area of the city, but are long-term tenants. A lot of them are Section 8, if not all of them, and it means the government pays you for the rents, and they get a subsidy that way, and they pay the difference through the Section 8 program. They also, the properties are in pretty good condition. They're all free and clear, and they're all cash flowing nicely. The property came to us through one of Dana's contacts, I think, through a group that we work with, a very large a group of investors. It's one of our networks.
That's right.
And what happened was the guy who came to us had been given the opportunity to buy these properties. He has excellent credit. His FICO score is over 700, which means his credit is excellent. He has a net worth of about $275,000 cash. And he's makes over $10,000 a month. And so he had good credentials. And what had happened is a person brought him the project because they thought they were going to close on it themselves. The lender they had in mind to deal with had said they were going to do the deal. They did all the appraisals and everything at a cost of about $3,000 for six appraisals, which the person that brought it to us told us, and we found out as well from the person who brought it to him. And then when they went to close or got past the appraisals, the lender told the original borrower who had found the asset that they would not close with this borrower because of her credit, which was pretty disturbing, I'm sure, to her because she'd already paid for the appraisal. They should have done that, of course, before, and so should she, but it didn't work out that way, so it came to us. We then talked to the borrower, and the seller was selling these properties for 50% of the appraisal. So the appraisals were coming in around 120. The seller was selling them for half that price, which in the surface is a very good deal. So the borrower, who was the person that Dana connected with directly, wanted to purchase them, but he didn't want to use his cash to purchase them. So we said, okay, let's think about a way we can do this. The seller wanted all cash, and the buyer didn't want to put up cash. So that became the first hurdle. So what we did there is we went to the seller through their lawyer, and we asked them if they would do the deal the following way. We would close on all six assets. The buyer would put down $100 each asset or something like that, $50. We haven't got to that number. We're still working that out. The buyer would pay all the closing costs on the purchase, and the seller would carry back a note for the difference between the amount of the down payment being at $50 or $100 and $60,000. Each one of the properties would be recorded separately, so they'd be separate trust deeds or mortgages, and they would all be recorded along with his transfer of the ownership to his name. Now, you say to yourself, well, but the borrower is not putting down any cash, and the seller said they wanted all cash. So how are you doing that? Well, we asked the seller if they would be willing to wait until the buyer records his closing with the county recorder's office, showing the properties are in his name. Point, we would then refinance the properties and take out the original seller and bring the buyer some additional cash to take him up to 65% of the appraised value, which is 120, which times 65% is 78,000. If you subtract the 60,000, $18,000 for property minus his expenses to close on each deal, which is, let's say, $1,000. So that's $17,000 for property minus our fees and such like that. So let's say, you know, he ends up with a pretty good chunk of change, somewhere in the neighborhood of $80,000 to $90,000. Okay? That's before we take anything and or participate as a back end owner of the project with him without us putting up any money. So once again, no money down the block. So we put the deal together. So we had a lender that said they would do this before we even went to the attorney and proposed it. When we finally got the attorney to agree to do this, which he did, then you might say, why would he do that? Well, it's because 2 weeks after the close, he's going to get all his money. So he's willing to wait 2 weeks. So was everybody, the agent who represented the seller, everybody's waiting 2 weeks. That's what we thought it would take to get it recorded at the county recorder's office because of their backlog. So might be faster, might be slower, but the point was we wouldn't pay out until after it was recorded because that was the only way we could have the lender do it so they could get properly insured and all that stuff with the title and with their loan. The lender told us after they looked at the file and had given us a soft commitment, meaning that they had given us a verbal that they would do it, under the terms that we were agreeing to with what's called no seasoning, meaning that there's no time that's passed from the time that essentially the borrower owns the property until the borrower refinances the property. Usually it's 6 months to a year seasoning. So the lender said that then after looking at it further, they wanted 6 months seasoning, which came and created another problem for us because we had the seller now. We had everybody ready. The person who had passed the properties to the contacts that Dana had, we were ready, and we went to the lender and says, okay, we're ready to go ahead and move this forward and get the contracts because they wanted the contracts from the seller before they would go ahead and issue a loan commitment. So we said, okay, we'll get the contracts from the seller. That's not a problem. And they said, okay. And then when it came down to it, they didn't get the contracts from the seller. What they did was we didn't get the contracts from the seller because the lender decided to pull out. So we had to find another lender. Well, looking for a lender that'll do six duplexes with no seasoning in not such a great area of a major metropolitan city in the Midwest is not the easiest thing to do because most lenders want seasoning because they want you to have owned the property for a while. So we checked with a number of lenders that we knew. We looked at it in our own account to see if we would do it. We decided not to do it inside our own account because it just really didn't fit in our formula. Much too small and not really the kind of deal we personally fund. So what we did is we went on a search for a lender. Now, that search took us down a number of paths. We tried posting in different websites. We called attorneys we knew. We called all kinds of different folks. We talked to the various people that knew the network pretty well of that area. And we kept coming up with people saying, I'd like to do it, but I want seasoning from the borrower. That's your borrower that holds title. And that wasn't going to work for the seller because he didn't want to wait on seasoning. He just wanted his cash. The seller wanted their cash because they're retiring and they just don't want to have these properties anymore. And they just want to cash out of them. So that became quite a deal because everybody was concerned that we weren't going to be able to get the closing and we weren't going to be able to find a lender. The buyer was getting concerned because he didn't want to put up any money for any more appraisals or anything like that. The person who had started with the original lender was concerned because they had invested $3,000 and hadn't gotten a dime back, and we're about to lose $3,000 if we didn't find some way to do this. So lo and behold, I received a call, and the call came in from a guy in the city where the property's located who had received the information from somebody else where I had posted it on an ad. And after we posted it and they responded to us, I called him back, got to know him, found that he'd been an agent for 10 years in the city where the property was located, knew this particular situation well, and thought he had a lender that would do the deal.
So he said, okay. So we ran over the deal. We went through all the terms. We went through the way it would be structured and why it was set up the way it was. And he listened intently. He said, that all sounds fine. Let me get back to you. And a couple of days later, he said, I think I have a lender. Okay, I said, fine. And so then, at the same time that we were just about to have the phone call with the lender, he had some personal issues come up in his family, and his mother became very ill, and his brother had some medical issues. And so it took his vision away from this deal. And we thought, oh my goodness, here we go with another problem. So he said, well, I'm going to have one of my colleagues who stand in for me, and we'll arrange a conference call between you and this my colleague and the lender. We said, okay, fine. So this went on for a couple of days until he could get his colleague set up, and then we had a call with the lender, and the lender said, I think I can do it. Now, it's not a lender in the city where the property is located. It's a lender 2,000 miles away from the property. So it's a lender in the United States, and they are willing to do creative financing, but it wasn't a lender that we thought we would find, which would be a local person through either a CPA or an attorney or something like that. But he understood the deal, and he liked the deal, and he said he could fund it or he could bring in his partners and they could fund it. It turns out he's in a city where we have a lot of contacts, so this will become a networking tool, and I'll talk about that in a second. So what we did was we had a phone call with the lender and with the person that was representing the group that brought us the lender, and myself and Dana. And we had a discussion about the deal, and we got through that, and everything was fine. And meanwhile, the person who had brought us, the gal who was working with the lender out of state, mother and his son take a, or not his son, his brother, take a turn for the worse. So he's been totally out of commission. So we're now at the point where we've put together a package of documents for the lender out of state, which are going to be submitted to the person who is the stand-in and partner in some cases, I guess, of the person who had the medical issues in their family. And but before doing that, we asked her to sign a non-circumvention non-disclosure agreement, which we sent yesterday. So that's where we are at this deal. Now, the reason I'm bringing these things up is it shows how things go when you're in the middle of a transaction and how things can change. We talk about you never expect anything to happen, and then but because you don't expect anything, anything could happen, and so you have to be prepared for everything. And so part of being prepared was having backups. So we're constantly looking for new sources of financing for this deal. We think we've also found maybe one more or two potential additional ways to do this. And what we think is interesting about this is the guy who, first of all, it creates a new networking situation with the guy who called me originally, then the girl who who's working with us because the guy has the medical problems in his family, and then the lender out of state who does huge deals, like 10, 20, 30, 40, $50 million deals, and actually has some things that he wants to talk to us about partnering with him on. So not only are we talking about this deal, but we're talking about many other transactions and another relationship and another new relationship that could lead to who knows what. Because remember, whenever you're talking to anybody, you're always talking to everybody they ever know or knew. So you're talking to their network as well as you're talking to them. So we're in the middle of this deal. It's not done yet, but we have very good feelings about it. We have the package now from the borrower, very nicely put together by Dana, I might add, who is a professional underwriter. Together, we're getting ready to submit it once we get the NCND, non-circumvention, non-disclosure agreement, back from the gal who is working with the guy who has the medical problems in his family. If everybody can follow the little bouncing ball here, if you have any problems or questions, you can always write us or, you know, and get in touch with us and we can answer them, or you can go back and listen to what you missed. But at the end of the day, where we are now is trying to do a deal which we believe we will get done. There's no promise we'll get it done, but we think we'll get it done.
where the borrower will end up with about 80 or 90,000 cash out. He will have put a few thousand dollars down to close, maybe five. He'll own six assets worth $120,000 apiece, and maybe up to 11 assets. If you do the math, that means he bought, if it's six assets, he bought $720,000 worth of value for $360,000 cash. Plus, he was able to pull out $15,000 or $16,000, call it 14,000, 15,000, whatever, per property because of his credit and because of his ability to pay and because they're all cash flowing. And then we showed that we have the rent rolls and all that stuff. And then we'll go into due diligence, hopefully, with the lender and get a term sheet from the lender, which is an offer, another word for an offer, a letter of intent, memorandum of understanding. They're all the same thing. And at the end of the day, it's an offer. And then we'll, if everything goes right, we'll go into due diligence and we'll put everybody together and we'll work towards closing. Now, obviously, this is not the usual deal, but there's never a usual deal. Deals have paths, and those paths are generally not a straight line. And so we've been navigating our way through this, and that's why we call navigating the close to the close. Because when you're going through this process, you maybe get frustrated. You can say, oh, my God, what am I going to do, this, that, and the other thing. Always stay calm, focused, and just solve the problems if there are any problems as they come up. And so we're in the middle of this. We'll be keeping you advised as to how we do with this. And if we close it, we will bring the buyer on the phone to the show. We'll bring him in as a guest, and he can talk about this particular transaction if we close it. And so I thought it would be really important to walk through that because it's not just about closing. It's about closing the closing, getting through the issues, making sure you deal with everybody, making sure everybody's on page, staying in touch with everybody, keeping a beat on the deal. It's the same thing. Any deal you do, you always want to make sure you, once you have parties that are all together on a deal, you want to make sure that you stay in touch with as many people as you possibly can in the deal on a pretty often basis once everybody said, we want to do the deal. Up to the point that they want to do the deal, it could be, you know, I wouldn't do it that often. But once you have somebody saying, yes, I want to do it, and you actually are in the middle of the deal and you have all the parties identified, then it's really up to you to kind of, like it's up to us in our deals, to kind of be the person leading the charge to the closing table. If you don't do it, you might not find that other people are as motivated as you to do it. And we're very motivated, because not only do we close a deal and make a lot of money, but we also help doing the four things we like to do the most, which is feed families, fund companies, create jobs, and create legacy, not in any order. So, Dana, do you have some thoughts you want to add on this? Because I think, you know, obviously you brought the deal into us, and we've been working through all the points and the issues, and, you know, you've seen them as they've come up, so I thought maybe you might want to add some color to what I just ran over. Anna, are you there? Did I lose you? Well, I may have lost Anna. I don't know what happened. If she's there, I'm sure she'll come back on. If she's not there, let me also say that...
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you just fine. So can you just add some color and your thoughts to what you think about this transaction and how you've watched it unfold and, you know, well, you know, any comments you have?
Well, as you know, we're talking to a group that the representative told us that they were able to do this with no seasoning. And, you know, as a paper to a funding transaction. And so we were, both of us we'd never heard of that before. So we were kind of like, are you sure? And we got the go ahead. And so sure enough, we're moving forward with it. We've almost got the thing approved when it's like, oh no, it's got to have 3 to 6 months. So I felt glad that I had explained to this guy that he was our guinea pig so that, you know, it was a little bit easier for him to take. I felt really excited that somebody had was ready to do that kind of deal for investors. But in this case, that it wasn't the company we were initially talking to. And so, of course, we've been looking for a way to finish it and get it put together. So if there's anybody listening out there that knows somebody that's interested in doing this kind of deal or wants to do it themselves, hey, give us a shout, 269-849-9510, or send us an email at dealswithkd@gmail.com.
Nicely put. I will say that I have done this before, so that's what gave me the idea, because I know that it had worked, and I had done it with a deal out here in Los Angeles, and it worked out just fine, and everything went great, and we were able to do it. They actually did have the cash in the account for the buyer, who was the end buyer. It wasn't a loan. In this case, it was a purchase, and we had the capital lined up and in escrow before we ever closed on the first leg. So it was a transaction of where the first leg was paper, was the loan that I, because the guy only owed $9,000 on the house, we did a wrap around that loan, and we did a loan and closed on the purchase, and then the next day I resold it. And my profit in that transaction was about $40,000. So it can be done.
That's
actually
cool.
That was a deal that I did with where I used my wife's escrow and title, and she told me all through the deal, she goes, "You can't do that. That's illegal. That's illegal." And I said, "Well, if it's illegal, how did I close?" She goes, "Well, I don't understand how you closed, but it sounds illegal to me." Well, it turns out none of it was illegal. We just got the buyer to agree to a lot of things that she wasn't used to as a retail agent. Now she's in wholesale, and she understands it much better, of course, many years later. So we just wanted to we thought it was very important to kind of walk through a real deal with real people in real circumstances where real money's been spent, and we don't want to see anybody take any losses. And this person who brought it to Dana's contact, had we not stepped in and come up with this solution, was going to lose $3,000 and still may. Now, we think we can figure it out. We're pretty confident that we have enough people in this conversation that we can figure it out. Now, we haven't gone back to the attorney or the seller yet until we have the commitment for the buyer, because we don't want to go down that road with the seller again, since they had a false start with us, not with us, but with the other person. And then they did have one false start with us, but not because of us, but because the lender changed their position in the middle of the conversation after we told the attorney that we had a lender identified who was willing to do the deal. And so it just shows that people change, things change, deals change. There's no banks in this entire transaction. It's all privately being done on the sell side and on the buy. So we have about 90 seconds left in the show. And so we just thought we would hopefully this is helpful to people to understand some of the things you go through when you're navigating a deal, whether it's a single-family house or, in this case, six duplexes, or whether you're doing a shopping center, an office building, doesn't matter, land or anything. You're going to run into issues that you need to resolve, and you need to be a problem solver. The reason I call my company Creative Flips Incorporated is we creatively finance deals, and we flip them upside down, inside out, and backwards in order to try and come up with a solution that matches the needs of the transaction. So find a need and fill it, and then close up the deal. And be professional, courteous, be knowledgeable. If you don't know something, don't say you do. Don't act better than you are or bigger than you are in terms of your education. Just say, "I'll get back to you, and I'll have to get you the answer to that question." And if you need any answers to anything, just write to us, and we'll be happy to answer you with our thoughts. So hopefully this is helpful to everybody. We wish you a great rest of the week and a wonderful weekend coming up. Have a wonderful time in going on and investing, and we appreciate very much everybody listening, and we're about to go off air. So thanks a lot, and have a wonderful day. Bye. Thank you, Dan. I'll call you right back.